Project. Welcome back to this episode of In the Black. Today we have on special guests, Mr. Jason Kleeper. As you guys know, if you've been following the show for the last few months, we are bringing Jason Kleeper to Australia in January, and we're very pumped about it, to be honest. This is a very unique opportunity. I mean, this man, we got into more details. We chatted for before the episode started, probably 2 hours. We talked about how he's managing 150 people under NCFIT, right? The NC Collective has 6 full-time employees running this online business. Like, this guy, he's on a whole new level. He's got a president of his company, a president. Like, it's crazy. We call ourselves owners and gym managers and coaches. He has a president. I can't imagine having a president anytime soon, but there's so much you can learn from this guy, is my point. This man he's in the trenches with us. He knows exactly what the gym game is like. And the difference is, he's not talking about the gym game like he was in it 10 years ago and now he's making all this money teaching us how to run gyms. He's in it right now. And that's the big difference, guys. That's what I want you to take away from this, is it's like us teaching you, okay? He is teaching us. So it just goes full circle with him. He's done the athlete path. He's transitioned into business owner. He's done online. He's doing the podcasting. He's doing the YouTubing. He's obviously got the book as well. He's just got everything going and he's still managing these gyms. And there's just so much valuable information in this podcast. Of course, guys, before we get into it, jasonkleeper.com/Australia, and you guys will be able to register your interest. We are going to close it a week from this show. So that's going to be the last closing. And then we're going to be sending out an email to everyone who's registered with the dates. It's looking like it's looking like a weekend in mid-January. So don't book it out yet. So jasonkleeper.com/Australia. It's going to be a smaller group. It's not going to be a crazy large seminar. And the people there that he told us he really wants are people that are ready to take the information seriously, that are going to implement it in their business, that actually want to make a change. So I guess if you're listening to this and you're a gym owner and you want to see some significant growth, if you want to see sustainable long-term profits, if you're trying to open multiple locations, if you're trying to grow a bigger staff team, this is the seminar to come to. If you're going to invest any dollars in yourself as a business to learn and grow in 2020, then this is how you should start your year off right. Nothing makes more of a difference than coming into January with just incredible energy to grow the gym, to be passionate, to help your members, and to just have a vision for really what you want. So we're super pumped to be able to bring him out. It's jasonkleeper.com/Australia. You guys can register your interest there. And after that, we've closed it off. So no more information we're getting out, only to that list. All right, without further ado, Jason Kleeper on In the Black.
So welcome back, My Muscle Project. We are on In the Black. And we've actually got a second-time guest. One time's CrossFit Games winner, but second time on the My Muscle Project, which is just as impressive. It's Jason Kleeper. And where I really wanted to start was really what we've been chatting about a little bit off-air, which is around us. I would say, we've been in the game for 6 years, and probably 40-50% of the gyms that started with us have closed now. And my observation with those CrossFit-style gyms is that the gym owner just didn't want to grow and do the stuff that they weren't comfortable with. So they wanted to stay with the programming. They wanted to stay coaching on the classes. They didn't want to give it up to a coach or trust somebody else. And because of that, they plateaued. So I want to know if you agree with that, and if so, how much you have had to change going from $10,000 into your first location into having over 20.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. First off, thanks for having me back on the show. I'm super excited about it. The more I get to know you guys, the more I get to know what you guys are about. I'm really looking forward to actually coming out there. But, you talk about evolution, and there's a low barrier to entry to open up a CrossFit style gym or any boutique gym for the most part, primarily because the equipment is so affordable. And just because the barrier to entry is low, the learning curve is very high. And as all of us know, you had a little bit more room 12 years ago, especially in the United States. Now there's not as much room. You have a lot more competitors and you got to be on your game. The problem is the game, some people haven't caught up to where the game is. Meaning the game has evolved, but a lot of people have stuck behind an old school CrossFit with dirty floors and assuming that people should be grateful to come into their gym instead of they should be grateful that people are coming into their gym. It's just a difference in the mindset that when I walk into your gym, you should be, hey, how's your day? Greeting me, this and that. And you shouldn't have, your shirt off just finishing a workout and tell me to wait 10 minutes before the class starts. Those are kind of the way it used to be, where it was a little bit more rugged, a little bit more whatever. But But as an industry, we've had to evolve. And that's something I've seen firsthand with all the different gym owners I talk into and our gyms in general. And it's been tough, but we have to do it.
Yeah, well, the game has changed so much. I think the entitlement came out of, I remember when Lockie and I first started, you know, we would close the door to stop people coming in and finding out about the gym because we just wanted to get our training in. Because so many people were just like rolling in, like, can I join this CrossFit thing? And we're just like, man, just close the door so we can train. And it is the opposite now. You know, you're putting signs out the front. Right. You're doing everything you can to get them in.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree fully. You know, back in the day, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if it's as much in Australia, but in the United States, like literally there's jokes on TV and in general about, you know, how do you know someone's a CrossFitter or a vegan? They tell you, you know, like basically back in the day, everybody used to tell everybody about CrossFit, CrossFit, CrossFit. Now it's a little bit more low key. And so what you're responsible for as an owner is you need to go out there and you need to go share your message because your gym, your members aren't being as vocal about it anymore. And we need to provide them tools to go tell their friends about how awesome of something you guys have. I mean, there's a ton of things we've had to change in our business, but mainly we've had to professionalize. We have nicer locations with showers that are more retail based. And not to mention something we don't talk about enough, the government has also evolved. So in the United States, at least, you used to be able to fly underneath the radar in warehouse space. Now, you know, new protocols have been created through the city to you know, kind of combat this issue where do these boutique fitness centers fall into? And that's something we need to be aware of. Everybody's had to evolve.
Mm. Yeah, that's one of the evolutions I've seen is with more warehouses being taken up by businesses that can pay higher prices for whatever different industries evolving and growing, and essentially the rental bill soaring for a lot of these gyms, they're being forced to move, well, downsize a little bit depending on where they are, but move more into retail locations and less into like the old school grungy warehouses. So what's your suggestion or what's your workaround for the, you know, the fact that it's going to be harder. They're going to have to move into retail spaces where they can't make as much noise. They can't drop the weights. They can't blast the music. They can't go running everywhere. Maybe parking is more of an issue. How do you work around that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all the above are issues. And the way you work around it is you got to do your due diligence. So for us, we always do sound tests. Always. I mean, that's rule number one. You got to do a sound test. And I'm not saying you have to go have some dude measuring the amount of, you know, vibration, whatever. You literally, what we have done so many times is we'll go, we'll bring two or three people. We'll take a barbell, put 135 on it or 60 kilos, and we'll just drop it overhead 50 times or whatever it is. And we'll go around and we'll go upstairs, downstairs, left stair, wherever. And you'd be amazed at, you know, for example, we've looked at locations where they have condominiums above and the vibration through these beams is just so extreme. There's no way we can get away with it. So we say, okay, well, let's just say we don't drop weights. Let's just say that. Well, how about the noise now? Because noise isn't so vibration based. Well, that's the next step. And if you have neighbors, how are they? Then what is your zoning? Do you have enough parking? These are all really important factors that in the beginning as an owner, it's so tough to want to listen to them because all you care about is let's open our doors. Let's get after it. And I get it. But I'm telling you right now that if you have a neighbor that hates you, eventually something's going to happen. So you might as well do it from the get-go, setting the expectation for everybody. We're having an issue right now, actually, at one of our locations where there's housing right behind it. And technically we're zoned right. Parking's right. We did a sound test. Everything was right. The problem is these residential houses are kind of getting upset about all of our constant vibration. So we've had to do, we're now going to instill at that particular location where you just can't drop the barbell at that one. And I wish I would have known that, but there was really no way we could have found out because the residential people weren't home when we did our sound test. But we probably should have looked deeper into it.
Man, yeah. It's so tough. So you think that you can have everything right, and then just your neighbors can change. Like, you can get new tenants in, and then everything has changed. Now it's like a museum, and it used to be like a dance club, and it's all over.
Yeah, and to that point, you have to make sure that you take what's in your control. It's not in my control if a hair salon moves in or a dance studio, right? That's out of my control. But what needs to be in my control is when they go to the city to call the police that you're making too much noise, you need to be zoned appropriately so that they have no right on that, right? Because you've already been zoned appropriately. You've already all the guidelines, you have the appropriate measures with your whatever. And so that this way, now it becomes more of a conversation of being a good person versus, am I getting kicked out because I'm not zoned right? It's, there are different conversations, you know, more so, hey, let's try and find a way to be good neighbors versus, you know, please don't report me to the city.
How do you, so if you're making that adjustment to, hey guys, we're not dropping weights anymore, do you think that is a change from the programming end, like, which is obviously a bigger move, or do you think it needs to come more from the individualized gym? Like, hey guys, at this location, unfortunately, we just can't drop weights. Like, what conversation do you want to have, or do you ultimately want to change the program long-term so it's never an issue?
No, so that's a great question. We've already instilled, so at 5 a.m., we already instilled no dropping, and people get it, right? The reality of the situation is, if you're strong enough to put over your head, you're probably strong enough to put it back down. And CrossFit has created this culture where we drop, and I drop all the time, right? But I don't believe, I actually think us instilling a no drop policy at this location for like heavier loads, right? We're talking like 65, 95 pounds is not an issue. We're talking about a lot of weight. I think that it'll do two things for us. One is it'll help our athletes learn how to control the barbell better. And two, it'll naturally and organically encourage them to lift weights that are more appropriate. Because what we find is when people get hurt in the gym, and I know you guys have probably seen this, when you ask them like, hey man, like, is there something we could have done better? What happened? They're like, oh dude, you know what? I knew my technique was going bad. I just was trying to beat the guy next to me and I just went too crazy. I wonder if by instilling this, if this will help us alleviate some of that. And we're going to test it at one of our locations and see what happens.
Is that the first location that you've had to instill no dropping across the whole gym?
Yeah, that's right. And we haven't done it yet. So depending on when this podcast airs, we'll probably just be doing it. So I'll have to come back on and let you know how that process goes. But I do think it's all about messaging. You know, something for gym owners to think about, and I really want to share with you, we rebranded from NorCal CrossFit to NC Fit. We rebranded from CrossFit Santa Clara to NorCal CrossFit years ago. When we rebranded, there was no issues. It was easy. You're going from CrossFit Santa Clara to NorCal CrossFit. Got it. When we changed from NorCal CrossFit to NC Fit, though, we didn't do a good job identifying who NC Fit is. And our coaches were so bought in on CrossFit and the brand that when we said, hey, nothing changes except for the name, what we didn't do a good job of is say, hey, NC Fit's mission, our vision, where we're going. This is our philanthropic efforts. This is who we are as a community. Let's go. We didn't do a good job of that. Now, how does it relate to this? What's important is that the staff needs to be on board with the decision. And so that's why this is not happening overnight. The key is, once we make the decision as the management team, we say, hey, this is what we have to do for sustainability. Now, how do we get our team on board? Because ultimately, they're going to be the ones, A, who have to actually uphold it, which is tough, right? It's easy to make a decision when you're not the one actually having to instill it. And number two, when the members hear about it and they come to them, how do we make sure that we're all singing from the same sheet of music on why we've decided to remove dropping? And so these are things we've learned the hard way over the years, that if you are going to do something like this, it's a little bit, I don't want to say controversial, because it's not controversial. It's just, it's not the norm. You need to make sure your coaches are on board. Otherwise, it'll start to break down.
Yeah, for sure. We've had a similar thing happen recently. Like, when we rebranded from CrossFit Creature to Creature Fitness, there actually wasn't any backlash, because I think we did it a little bit later in the game. So more people had done it for a while. We talked about it on the podcast, and I think a lot of the members were kind of bought in on the idea that we weren't going to be CrossFit forever. But recently, when we took our schedule, which says CrossFit, 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 CrossFit all over it, and, you know, it might have some weightlifting, some gymnastics, whatever, we changed it to hybrid, right? Because we wanted to, we felt like what we were doing in the classes was more than CrossFit. You know, there was some strongman stuff in there. There was some movement stuff in there. There was rehab stuff. There was all these new methods that we had learned and were incorporating into classes. And if someone sees CrossFit in the schedule everywhere, they just see a commodity, right? So they just start comparing you to everything else that has CrossFit there. Because what, I don't blame them, right? If someone has, if 50 people have Diet Coke in their fridges at their restaurants, everyone knows it's Diet Coke. It should cost X amount of dollars, right? But if you have something different in there, I don't know, organic cola, you can put whatever price tag you want on it. And that's what we felt like we needed to do, because everyone was coming in going, yeah, it says Creature Fitness, but they're a CrossFit gym. I'm like, yeah, that's one thing that we do, but it's not everything that we're about. And then when we changed it to hybrid, we just sort of figured, oh, it's the last sort of thing on the website and the schedule. No one's really going to notice it. We'll push the message in about a week. Like within 24 hours, we had people going, oh my God, what's going on? This is, are we changing everything? We're like, guys, we really fucked this up. And everyone was on board from the coach's side because they knew that this is what we were about. We'd been coaching this way for a while, but it was literally just changing that label just threw everyone off. Threw all the members off in their mind. They go, what is happening to this gym? Is it becoming F45? They're just scared. What does this hybrid thing mean?
And that's right.
You're right. The messaging had to be super clear. This is why we changed it. This is what we're about. From your end as a client, this is what your experience is. Nothing changes there, et cetera, et cetera. And you're right. It is all really about the messaging. With correct messaging, you can do anything.
That's right. Especially, it's got to start from the top, right? You have to know why you're doing a big decision. And the team needs to be on board, which is even more important. The team needs to be behind the decision. You can't just tell people. You need to earn their trust on why, the why. And then obviously the members are the next phase. And you got to have it all tied in when you make big decisions like this. So I'm gonna close my door.
Yeah. 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 Well, I think that's probably, you know, one thing that we're talking about. One thing we're talking about off air was about the things that gym owners struggle with. And what we've always seen gym owners struggle with is they do way too much of the work themselves. And anytime they've attempted to get a staff member in to do more of the work for them, they don't build the right relationship with that person. And ultimately that person leaves for lots of reasons, probably because the business wasn't run well, the trust wasn't built. And then business owner is feeling like, okay, I have to do this on myself because I can't trust anyone because they're just going to walk out on me. And that's a really bad attitude, right? It's going to keep you very small if you feel like you can't build a world-class team. So you've got, you were saying earlier, you've got 150 people that work on you. So how do you, or what would your advice be to gym owners, you know, from hiring their first staff member to building a massive team?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, I like to think about like they work, we all work together. Like I can't do my job without our team doing their job. And I don't want to do their job and they shouldn't want to do my job. Meaning I stay in my lane, they stay in their lane. And it's very important that you allow them that autonomy to go do their job. Otherwise, why are you paying them? And so I think it's really important that as an owner, we think we can do everything the best. And we can't, because we can't do everything the best. We need to identify where we drive the biggest return for our business, spend time there, and then delegate out the other areas. If you're spending hours and hours behind a computer and maybe your real forte is talking to people, getting new people into the gym, whatever, you'd be making better use of your time, you know, delegating that out to somebody for $20, whatever, an hour, and then you go do what's best, which is, because time is our biggest, most precious commodity and our thing. And how do we delegate things out to optimize our time as the owner? Is what I always think about. And as our team has grown, it's been very important to find competent, credible people, right? So they're competent in their job. And even though some of my best friends work at the organization, they need to be qualified at what they're doing. And then we need to pay them a wage that's appropriate, meaning no trade outs, no whatever, pay them an appropriate wage with the understanding that if they don't do their job, we will let them go. And I think that trust and setting the expectation early is an area that we struggled with. And my biggest thing for any owner listening, please pay attention to this. When we went from one employee to two to five to 10 to 20 to whatever, if we had just done a better job clearly outlining the expectation, we would be in a lot better spot. Instead of just saying, guys, hey, John, just work hard and you'll make more money. I should have said, hey, John, let me show you your job description. This is what I expect from you. This is what you could expect from me. And when you clearly define it and you do quarterly reviews or semi-annual, I think you could really avoid the animosity that builds up. I used to think that everybody was like me, didn't want any delegate, you know, guidance, direction, just go do their job. But people want to know they're on the right path. So if I'm an owner right now, create a job description of something that you need help with. Set the expectation with that person early and have reoccurring meetings with them to ensure that you're both on the same path. That's a great place to start.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, awesome. You don't want that stuff because you're the entrepreneur and then you can fall into the trap of thinking everyone's the same as you. But there's a reason they haven't got their own NC Fit and they want to come and work for you. It's because they enjoy more that type of work where they've got it written down for them. They know what their goals are. They go after it and then they can go home.
Exactly. 100%. I wish I would have known what you just said earlier on. And if they have those goals and aspirations of being entrepreneurial, owning their own business, it's my job to let them know what it fully entails. Because it's not just rainbows and unicorns. It isn't. We need to make sure that, hey, what are their financial expectations for owning a gym? What does that look like? And what is their background that makes them feel credible? And do they want to own a business because they want to just have a place to work out at or because they want to coach? Well, maybe there's a better way of doing it. And that's what I need to talk to them about.
Yeah, that expectations from the business owner perspective, I think is very clear. I flew to another city in a past weekend and sat down and had a chat with one of my friends who's thinking about opening up a gym, and he's a PT in commercial fitness. And, you know, I'm like, okay, throw at me some ideas of what you have about this gym. I gave him like about 20 questions I wanted him to answer, which are just kind of like thought provoking questions about what are your expectations like as a gym. Now, from a trainer perspective, this guy earns a really good living. He's got a really good online presence. He does well online programming. He trains some very, very notable people in his community. He's an excellent trainer. And it's so easy to mistake that for good business acumen. And it only takes 20 questions that are digging around business ownership where I realize, wow, this person has no idea about business. And it's a completely different skill set. And we forget that. We forget that because we always place our own values and our own perspective onto other people that we hire. And we expect that they have the same goals and expectations and motives that we have. And then I think it creates some fear around wanting them to do certain things or asking them of certain things or potentially taking holidays or whatever, because you're like, well, I wouldn't do that, so I don't want them to do it. But they're completely different people. They want other things. And so you can give them the expectations and the clarity at the start with their role, and they're really bought into that. It doesn't matter what you do. Like it has no impact on them. They just want to do their role extremely well.
That's right. I mean, that's what I sent you over. So before we got started talking, I sent you over a doc pack that we use for our seminars and for any gym that's part of the NC Fit Collective. We sent it this to them. And in there is in-depth job descriptions, intern guide, apprentice guide. And look, I'm not all about like systems and procedures. I'm not all about docs. I think that at the end of the day, we're in the service business. You have to be really good at servicing people. If you rely too much on docs and you forget what really matters here, which is personal connection, you can get down a slippery slope. But had I had better laid out expectations earlier with our team, I could have been years ahead of where we're at today. Because you know what? I would have spent less time talking about, you know, how to work together and more time talking about how to move the company forward. That's what I would have spent more time doing.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, we looked at those documents, you know, you were just taking us through it before, and I just looked at them. I think it's what every gym owner wants. It's like if they're reading through it, they're looking at it and they're like, yeah, this is what I want. Like, I know this stuff. It's not like you're giving them shit where they're like, oh, wow, like this is like mind-blowing, you know, I've never heard this stuff before. It's all the stuff where they're like, yeah, you know, they should show up before class, the coach should do this, yeah, they should speak to everyone, they should correct anything. It's all there, but it's all in their head. And I think that a lot of gym owners don't have the time. And they really don't have, a lot of them just don't have the patience to just sit down and get this stuff, all the stuff out of their head in a really easy to understand way for the staff, which is, I think those documentations that you sent us and, you know, the stuff that you'll be presenting in the Sydney seminar will just, it's perfect for people because now it's there, it's all done for them. And it's not like they can't use it. It's not like it's special to NC Fit. These are principles and these are just basic checklists that anyone can use. I think it's brilliant. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, for us, it's mandatory, right? I mean, when we look at our organization, if we don't have, you know, clearly defined expectations of a class, we need you to do this, then how can we expect that we hold them accountable to anything if we're not clearly defining what that is? And then how are we doing that on a regular basis of giving our coaches checklists so that they can even self-evaluate how they're doing, right? And on top of that, what are we providing them on a daily basis to go out there and provide the best class? And I think, you know, something I'd hang my hat on is any owner out there, any coach listening, when you give an athlete a cue and you say, hey, keep your chest up, drive your knees out, and they don't do it, the first thing that happens in your mind is that you get frustrated you're like, dude, why does this person suck so much, right? But what needs to go back is that it's not their fault. It's your fault because you're not disseminating the information in a way that they can articulate to themselves. So if you're trying to get all fancy and talk about lumbar extension and whatever, instead of saying, hey, squeeze your whatever, maybe you're not communicating it effectively. And so what we think about all the time is, what are we doing to communicate exactly what we want to our coaches on a daily basis, so they could put the best product in the world on the floor? And that's our goal. It's our responsibility, not the coaches. I mean, it's the coaches' responsibility. I think you guys get where I'm going with this. It's the coach's responsibility to put out a phenomenal class. It's our responsibility to give them the tools to get there.
Yeah. And people want to have feedback as well. Like, they want to know that they're not perfect all the time. They want to know where they can improve. But I think that, back to the expectations piece, in the beginning, if you are not setting the expectation that you will regularly deliver feedback for them to improve, then you almost talk yourself out in your own head of ever delivering feedback to this person, of fear that they might not take it the right way. Whereas if on day one, before you even hired them, in your interview process, you started giving them feedback and you saw how they took feedback, they think, okay, this is a place that's going to give me lots of feedback. And you're like, I'm delivering feedback. This is how this person takes it. That's great. This is the kind of person I want in my organization. Now there's just a constant feedback loop of you feedback to them and them feedback to you. And that's perfect. That's what you want.
And it's all based on trust, right? The culture is based on feedback and elevation of each other. That's the culture. It's not an exception. It's the rule, right? Everybody gets feedback all the time to raise the bar. Before we even started talking here, I said, hey guys, I'm going to send you our collective session plans and programming. I would like feedback, right? I'm asking for it because that's the only way as an industry we'll continue to evolve and grow.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, like, sometimes you don't want to hear certain feedback, but ultimately 2 or 3 days later, after you've gotten over the ego just hurting, you're like, yeah, wow, that's what I needed. It's exactly what I needed.
That's right.
And we've had people on the podcast. Like, I remember when we, before we knew how to like make the sound right, we used to laugh a lot on the podcast. Probably don't laugh as much these days. Maybe it's because we've owned gyms for too long, but We used to scream into the mic. We didn't level it, so it would break people's eardrums. And people would come back to us. This is the worst show ever. I can't believe it. It's too loud, this, that. And we used to be like, fuck these people. If they don't like it, turn it off. But, you know, 3 or 4 days later, you turn around and you go, yeah, we should probably fix the sound. And, you know, since then, we fixed the sound. But on the surface, initially, you're like, ah, this is the worst feedback ever. Fuck this person. On the flip side, it's the feedback and, you know, the thing that you needed to move forward and improve the quality of whatever you're doing. That's important.
Right. 100%, man. That's what we want to do. You know, so I want to come out to Sydney. Basically here's my, not pitch. Here's my why. My wife, and my family, which I'm at home right now. So my son's playing basketball in the backyard, if you hear him, is we really want to go to Australia. We've never been, in New Zealand, never been to Australia. And if I'm going to travel all the way around the world or whatever it is, I want to try and provide as much value as I can to anybody who's ready to listen or be a part of this. And I want to learn and I want to share. I want to share from how he went from one location to two. Maybe that's a big deal for you. Or how you went from zero locations to one. Maybe that's what you want to do, right? So maybe you want to start a gym. Or maybe you want to expand into corporate wellness. Let's talk about it. Are you ready for that decision? And I'm bringing with me my family for vacation, but I'm also, I want to head out to Sydney, and bring the president of our company, who is from Lockheed Martin. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's a missile defense company here in the United States. He went out, you know, he started there. He was in corporate America for a lot of years, got his MBA. Then he came on as our CFO, and now he's transitioned from CFO to now president because he does more operations as well. Him and I are both going to come out and we're going to just lay our heart and our soul on the table for anybody who wants to listen and share a lot of really great content. So I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but I'm just fired up to come out to Sydney.
We're really excited for you to come out. Obviously, for the times that we've mentioned it on the podcast, for the people listening again, it's a very rare opportunity. There's a lot of gym owners in Australia, but no one that has the accolades that you've achieved in the States, and there's so much that we can learn from you, just because essentially in the CrossFit space, very few people sit in the position that you sit at, which is, I think, fantastic. And you've done an extremely good job there. It's been an inspiration for us as well, especially, and I think anyone who knows you listening as well, making that transition from the athlete to the business owner, the entrepreneur that you are now. And I think that anyone that even hesitates, like, price shouldn't be the issue at this point. Should just, it's the ultimate investment. There's always things that you take out of these seminars that you can apply to your business that give you the 10x return. I always say a dollar invested in yourself always has a 10x return if you apply it. So I would just say that anyone listening to this that hasn't registered yet, absolutely should. So yeah, we're definitely pumped for you to come out. We're keeping it pretty small at this stage. I think that's what we're going to do. Just so, like, you know, we were saying earlier, we want people there that want to learn. We want people there that can take your time and ask you specific questions. And so they can register. I think we're going to give it a week from the release of this podcast to cut off registrations. Then go to the link that you provided, jasonkleeper.com/Australia, and register their name there. And then we're going to send you the date. Jace, what was the date we were thinking roughly around?
Yeah. So basically, if you're listening and you're an owner out there, a coach who wants to attend, go to jasonkleeper.com/Australia. And all you got to do is just put your information in. Easy, right? No credit card, no nothing. Just express you're interested. And then based on that interest list, we will then email you with more details about the seminar. What we're thinking, this is just broad strokes. We're thinking a Saturday, Sunday event in like early to mid January. So we're looking at, I got it right here on my calendar. We're thinking either the 11th or 12th or the 18th and 19th, like somewhere in that time frame in January, and making a Saturday, Sunday event, having maybe like a private dinner Saturday night, or maybe even having something special, right? But what my goal and my intention is not to crush it and make a gazillion dollars. My goal is to be able to bring my family out to Australia, have a phenomenal experience with them, while at the same time, for those 2 days, I'm going to AMRAP the hell out of it with all these owners. There will be nothing else that I'm going to focus on. And from the moment I start to the moment I leave, I'll be trying, Matt and I will be trying to provide as much value as possible with docs, information, life experiences, you know, from how we went, you know, we could talk about, and the thing about it is we could talk about scale. If you want to talk in the millions, we can talk in the millions. If you want to talk in the hundreds, let's talk in the hundreds. But I think it's important to see that wherever our business has ebbed and flowed over the years, and wherever you're at on your journey, I want to help you take you to wherever you want to go. And some people might say, hey, I want to have 100 members. That's where I want to be. I want my gym to make 20 grand a month. Okay, how do we do that? Some people might say, hey, I want to build the next big franchise. All right, how are we going to get there? What's the path? Because we've looked into all that stuff and we know a lot about it. So Saturday, Sunday, early to mid-January is the idea. jasonkleeper.com/Australia to get more information. We will then, after this podcast, we'll give it a little bit of time. We'll send it information. And then from there, we're probably going to cap it, I'm thinking, at 50 people total. And so, you know, basically, once you get the email, make sure to respond quickly, because the 50 spots, I assume, will go relatively quick.
Matt, yeah. We're pumped.